much. I'm very happy to have this opportunity to speak at Shalom here on Concordia College Seminary. This is my first visit. I'm very impressed with the facilities that God has given you to prepare for the ministry. I'd like to open up a passage of Scripture to start with in Matthew 28. I think this is a real important section of God's Word when we take a look at another part of the body of Christ, the church today behind the Iron Curtain. These are the words of Jesus in Matthew 28. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. When we really take these words of Jesus serious, that should really stir our hearts for a world vision of opportunities to take God's word, the message of salvation, to every nation, to every tribe, to every land. And that would include, of course, those countries today that are in Eastern Europe, Poland, East Germany, Czechoslovakia, Hungary, Romania, Bulgaria, Albania, Yugoslavia, and the target country, the Soviet Union. And so God has touched the hearts of several individuals, families, to work with the Eastern European Bible Mission. The brochure that I passed out to you gives some background, a little history of how this ministry was started about 7-8 years ago through a Dutchman, Hank Paulsen. God spoke to his heart to travel into these countries, taking in God's word to supply, to encourage the saints in these countries. And a few workers were added to his ministry, and it became known as Eastern European Bible Mission. And it has worked side by side with another well-known ministry in Holland, that is Open Doors with Brother Andrew. Andrew is a man who started this work about 20, 25 years ago, traveling into the East, and he wrote a book that's made a great impact on Christians in the West, especially here in America. That book is God's Smuggler. It was as a young Christian that I read his testimony, his story of how the Lord really enabled him to cross the lines, to cross enemy frontiers with the Word of God, praying that prayer that I have used in my last 2 years traveling on teams in the East. Lord Jesus, when you walked on earth, you made blind eyes to see. And now, Lord, I pray that you would make seeing eyes blind, that your word might go through the borders and reach your children in the East. I have prayed that prayer, and God has answered it. He's honored the prayers of our teams. And I can tell you that probably the most essential thing in this work is the prayer support. People, families, churches, fellowships, schools that have stood with us in prayer, raising up our brothers and sisters before the throne of grace, in their prayer closets, in their prayer meetings. And I have felt those prayers following me into the East. That's what makes it possible for teams to travel into these countries, to take in the Word of God, to minister in their homes, their churches, in secret youth camps, and just, as I see it, being an extended arm from the body of Christ in the West, making personal contact and touching base with our brothers and sisters in the East. And there are so many different ministries today in this work that God has raised up with a burden, a vision, to cross the lines, to bring in to Christians, God's Word, and good Christian literature, the tools for evangelism, and equipping the saints with His Word, encouraging them in the faith that they're not alone, that we in the West, we love them. We're praying for them. And we want to be personally involved in their lives, standing with them in their difficult places. And so we travel as tourists during the summer months. Usually there's three or four people on a team. And it's from May through September that is a real push. Over 100 teams last year traveled into East Europe. And I was really privileged to go on five of those teams. I'd like to share with you just briefly from one of those trips. It was to what we would call one of the most difficult countries for our brothers and sisters. It's one of the Balkan nations, has a population of about 9 million people today, oftentimes referred to as Little Russia. And for the last 30 years, this satellite nation has been one of the most obedient, one of the most faithful satellite countries under the controls of the Kremlin. When new policies, when new programs have been sent out, this country has oftentimes been the proving grounds. And so, for the Christian church in this country, it's been a real struggle, both among the registered churches, those that are recognized by the government, and also the underground church, Christians that have broken their ties with the government in their own conscience. They're convicted that to be faithful to the Lord and to His Word, they have to break those ties with the government, that the controls, the monitoring, the regulation of the church, they cannot compromise in that way. And so they've broken away. And thus we have an underground church in, well, across Eastern Europe and in the Soviet Union today. What country am I talking about? It's the People's Republic of Bulgaria. That little country there situated between Romania, Yugoslavia, Greece, the Soviet Union, and the Black Sea. It's a country that today, we're very careful when we send teams. We had only sent a couple of our teams the year before, and I was really excited with this opportunity to go on a trip and to meet several contacts in this country. One of the things that we've learned over many years in this ministry, that in Bulgaria there seems to be a ruling spirit of fear over this country, both in the society, in the large cities. I observed that as I drove through many of the largest cities in Bulgaria, the way it was manifest by many uniformed police, army personnel. You could see the checkpoints at the main intersections, police taking numbers, watching traffic, people watching people, in other words. And that's just a part of the lifestyle that the Christian church has to put up with. Many of the most evangelical pastors in this country have been cut off, isolated, exiled, and just never heard from again. And so there's, it's a land that's very needy for both encouragement from the West, for God's written word, for the spoken word, and just that word of encouragement that we can bring to them to lift them up as our brothers and sisters in the faith. Our first contact in Bulgaria was one of the most unforgettable saints I have ever met, Brother Alex. He's a Methodist pastor, now in his 70s, and he knows the sufferings of Christ in a very intimate, personal way. He has spent 5 years in prison for his witness, for his sharing Christ, teaching and preaching the resurrection, confronting people with the claims of Jesus Christ. That's resulted in much suffering in his own life and in the lives of his congregation. He has a flock of about 150, 200 members. And I'll never forget the night that we arrived to make our first contact, to visit Brother Alex. It was much later than we expected. We were running way behind schedule. And we were, in fact, we were lost on our way, driving across Bulgaria that day. And as it got dark, we were just looking at our maps. And, of course, it's very difficult when their language, alphabet itself is so different. It's so foreign. In Bulgaria, they have the Cyrillic alphabet. Many of the characters are so different than our alphabet. And so we continued driving and asking for directions. And when we finally got to the city where Alex lived, it was already close to 11 o'clock at night. But our team leader was impressed. He was very concerned that we would visit Alex that first day, even though it was very late. And so he went out with one of our sisters on the team to make the first contact, to walk from where we had parked our vehicle in the city square several blocks away. And they were gone for about half an hour, and then they returned to our vehicle and shared with the other sister and myself on our team that they found the address all right, the instructions were good, but they could not get inside the gate, fence. And so they had returned, and the team leader said to me, "Gary, would you go now and you try to make entrance? Take with you Lois." And so we left the vehicle, we walked to the address, and as I got up to the gate, I tried opening it, and then I slipped my hand through the bars, and I felt a latch there. And pulled out on it, and suddenly the gate swung open before us. And so we were inside the church courtyard. We closed the gate behind us, and we walked around behind the church to the house where Alex lived. And as we stood at the doorway, I looked at my watch, and it was 11:30, getting closer to 12 o'clock. And I said to Lois, "What will they think of us coming at such an hour? We know that we'll wake them up." But Lois just said to me, "Well, this has to be God's timing. He's brought us this far. We've traveled all day to get this far." And so with that, I said, "Let's just pray now that as we knock, that they will hear and that we can visit with them." So after a couple times knocking on the door, the second window opened up, second floor window opened up, and there was an elderly lady looking down at us, and she said something in Bulgarian. I could not understand it. And then I, in a low voice, I called back up to her, "Alex, is Alex there?" And she motioned with her hands for us to wait, and then we heard some noise upstairs, and footsteps coming down, downstairs, and then the door opened, and there standing before us was this elderly couple. And we introduced ourselves, and they welcomed us in to their home with arms of love. And just so thankful to have visitors from the West calling at them at midnight. And I shared that we had teammates waiting in our vehicle at the parking place, and that we really felt it important to visit him and also to make plans to deliver literature that we had brought for him. And so I asked Alex where and when and how would it be safe for us to bring the literature that you had requested. And he said, you could come tomorrow. You could come right here to our home, to the church, and bring it right up to us. Can you come at 2 o'clock, he said. I was very surprised when he said 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Because normally, in this ministry, we work under the cover of darkness when there are not so many people out on the street. I quizzed Alex. I asked him again, are you sure we can come at 2 o'clock? Would it be safe? And then he said to me with such authority and such faith, and as he said this to me, I knew it was God speaking through him. He said, you come tomorrow. Come tomorrow at 2 o'clock because the Lord is with you. He will watch over you and your teammates, and we will be expecting you. And then I nodded and I agreed that we will be back. We'll come with the literature. And so we prayed with Alex and his wife, and we turned to our teammates that were waiting in our vehicle. We shared with them that we made the preparations, the plans, and I shared with our team leader that we... Alex asked us to come at 2 o'clock. He was very concerned. But then I assured him that the Lord was really speaking to us, and we felt that this is his timing to go. And then we all agreed that the Lord will be with us, that he'll help us and meet us in a very special way tomorrow. So we left town. We went out to a camping site, and then the next morning we had our team devotions. We always share the word and pray for our day, for the activities, our travel. We prayed specifically for Alex and for his church, and for the literature that we would be bringing to them. And our team leader said that he'll do the driving and that I would be carrying literature in a couple handbags. I would be dropped off from one point and walk to the church, and then meet him at the same parking place where we had been before. And the two sisters on our team would get out from a different point and walk to their Alex's home with two suitcases of literature on the streets. And then we all would meet together with our team leader. So that was the plan, and that was what we really felt was the way we should approach Alex with the literature. And of course, we're all in prayer as we